Hey everyone, welcome to the Apply Rigor podcast. This is episode 3. Last week, if you tuned in, you would have heard from Dave Bennett, who shared his beautiful and glorious story with us through some valleys back into success. And this week, we've got Mr. Dave Jones, also a podcast host.
Sitting in the hot seat.
In the hot seat.
Come on, baby.
He's the CEO of M is Good, a creative agency out of Raleigh. And he's going to share his story of trekking through the valleys into some great times of success and what it looks like now, how to power through it, because he still goes through them. So take it away.
Awesome, man. So awesome to be here. So excited about this podcast. My story is, I grew up in Pennsylvania. I played hockey my whole life.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. It's a cloudy day in Pennsylvania. So, in and out of hockey rinks my whole life. I really didn't know anything else outside of hockey, which is... I didn't realize it that till later. But anyway, I won a couple of state championships early on, once as a 15-year-old, once as an 18-year-old. I ended up going up to Canada, playing a Tier 2 junior hockey league up there in Ottawa. Came back. I was going to go to Ferris State. Didn't go to Ferris State because I got drafted in North American Hockey League. So I went and played juniors another year. I got a slap shot in the face, shattered my nose in 3 different directions, deviated septum. It was one of the worst days of my life in Kalamazoo K-Wing Stadium.
Oh, man.
It was bad. You know, my story is really, you know, a lot of peaks and a lot of valleys. I feel like, you know, I think on the outside you look in, you may say, wow, Dave's done some stuff in his life and look what he's got. But like, you know, I kind of look at myself and say, wow, I've had a lot of struggle. And a lot of peaks and a lot of valleys for sure. So, that was definitely a valley for me. I had no idea what I'm going to do with my life at that point. I was, the worst part was the accident, but even worse was when I was going to bed at night. When I was, I couldn't breathe out of my nose. My tongue would dry up and it would crack and bleed. Oh, and so I was like, I don't know if you ever had a dry tongue at night, but it's terrible when it cracks. It's awful. So I got on my knees and I prayed, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I ended up joining the Air Force. I'm going, okay, I'm getting away from hockey. I'm out of here. Like, let's go. I'll never forget the day when they packed up my stuff. When the military came and packed up my stuff, my hockey bag was sitting in the corner, and they said, hey, do you want to take this bag too? And I said, yeah, let's take it. Why not? Who knows? So I ended up going to Germany, and I landed in Germany for October 1994. By the end of that month, I was on the German hockey team playing in the Zweite Liga, which is, the Bundesliga, and the Zweite Liga, which is the second league. So here I am back playing hockey. Now I'm in the military in Europe, and it was a great run playing there. But going from an American hockey player to a European hockey player was a bit of a stretch. The Europeans like to dangle with the puck, and the Americans like to hit the body. So I went over there and, again, hit another valley of, like, I'm an aggressive hockey player that checks. And so I was in a penalty box a lot. I became a fighter and a goal scorer, which is kind of weird in the hockey world. Either you're a fighter or you're a goal scorer. You're not both. So I was, this American guy that's scoring a bunch of goals, making people mad, and then getting in fights and leaving. It's pretty frustrated where I was at in my life.
That's how you win friends and influence That's people, for sure. Taught you all your life lessons from there.
I'll never forget one of my last games. I told my buddy Schwabi, who's a German friend of mine. I said, Schwabi, I'll be out in 30 minutes. He's like, what do you mean? You have a game. I'm like, I'll be out in 30 minutes. So I went, started the game, got in a fight with somebody, and I was out.
There you go.
I was done for the night.
Done.
So I came home and... After my European tour, which was great, I loved the German community, loved the people there, I found myself leaving hockey, so I was in an identity crisis. I didn't know what to do, didn't have any mentors, like you were saying, mentors in your life. I didn't have any. I did have some schooling, but I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. So once again, I got on my knees and prayed, God, what do you want me to do? And I ended up starting Marketing Ministries, which is now M is Good. The first years were terrible.
Time out here. As we get into this, so as you're getting ready to start that, and most of our entrepreneurs, you've probably already started this or you're getting ready to start it. Talk to me about the conversations you're having. Because you're thinking, what's my network? Who can I have as clients to come out of the gate because I need some income? Talk to me about how that happens.
So I had this, I prayed a prayer right at my desk. I was working for Fox TV and I had a list of Christians that were on the TV station. So it was probably about 21, 22 of them. I went to all of them in November of 2000. I said, hey, I'm going to start an ad agency. It's going to be a Christian ad agency. It's going to be great. Will you come with me? And probably about 18 of them said, we're with you, man. Like this is, yeah, whatever you need, we're with you.
This isn't quite as dramatic as the Jerry Maguire scene, right? Who's coming with me?
Who's coming
with me? Well, it's me and the fish and the girl. We're yeah, all, yeah, we're yeah. heading out. You're we're going to take me, you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what happened. So this was in November. I go in December and January, and I've got 18 clients out of that 21 list and start the company. So I started the company in January of 2002, really, but it's registered November 2001 anyway. So I get to that and I go, okay, well, let's go. And three people say, all right, we're with you. The 15 are out. And so
what is the feeling in that moment when you're ready to embark on this thing by yourself? What did you feel like in that moment?
I feel like back to getting a slap shot in the face. I'm like, I'm in a valley.
Yeah.
You know, like this, it was a physical pain, like getting a slap shot in the face is physical pain. Now it's a mental pain of like, okay, okay, God, you led me to this. Now I've got three clients. That first year I built $15,000 and I made 15% of that.
Wow. Did you want to go fight them?
I wanted to go.
Because you're a hockey player, man.
So here's what I say this all the time now when I'm, you know, working with other people is that the higher level of performance somebody's in, so whether it's NHL or an executive or whatever, the higher level of the performance, the more dysfunction there is.
That's good,
because you're out to prove yourself in some level of identity, and that was me. I'm like, all right, I don't know who I am, but I'm gonna go make this work because I'm gonna show the world that I can do it,
right?
And that was what drove me to that performance side, is I'm gonna go prove it and look at me because I'm performing.
Yep.
And that drove me. So first year, 15,000. The second year was like 35,000. And I made 15% of that.
Rock and roll, dude. You're almost crushing it, man. Taking the world on fire. Come on. I like the poverty line. Look at you go, man.
Keep on crop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was.
Living in a box.
Yep. Third year was 100 and some thousand dollars, and I made 15% of that, so now I'm up to 15 grand.
Uh-huh. All right, let's pump the brakes there for a second. So, but what happens between year two and year three? Because I'm sure for a lot of people, man, those first 2 years are freaking brutal, right? You're trying to celebrate any kind of win that you have to kind of put wind in your sails because you're on your own, dude. And so what happens in there that both propels you, and you've got to still be down in that valley somewhere. So talk to us about you're in the valley and then what propels you to get out of the valley.
I just had this conversation yesterday, a guy who's retiring the military. I'm talking to him and he's a fighter right now. And he said, how long does it take for your identity, like for you to like work on your identity? And I said, well, it took me about 8 years.
Wow.
And so, and I didn't have any mentorship. I didn't have a system. I didn't have a network at church or a community at church. I had nothing. It was just me and my fiance. And so I had nothing.
Wow.
So I had nothing. I mean, my back was to the wall.
Yep.
I didn't have, I was in North Carolina. My family's in Pennsylvania. I mean, I didn't have family.
Wow.
And I don't have a big family to begin with.
Yeah.
So it was merely like, I really look back on those years and I go, the only thread was God.
Yeah,
like God was my source on some level, and I wasn't a fire breathing Christian at that time. Really, I mean, I was trying, but I was like, I was a baby, man. I was 28 years old, you know.
So were you trying, you know, every new client or every new opportunity to make a little bit more money? Were you like celebrating the heck out of that, or were you like, no, not enough? We need
every,
to keep driving.
Like you said in yours, like everything that you're going is you gotta have those victories. You gotta celebrate and go, okay, I've done this. I can do it a little more. I can go. I can keep pushing. Yeah. I can get through this. You know, like I had no idea about peaks and valleys, and like every time you're in a valley, you know, there's gonna be a peak, and there's a peak. There's a valley. Like I didn't know any of that. I just knew that there was hope there. You know, we talked about the belief that change is possible. Like I can make phone calls. I have things in my power. Yeah. I can make meetings. I can do this.
So what, okay, you're in the midst of this the struggle, because that's what that is, yeah, of like, I'm at 15,000, 35,000. Year two, you just barely double what you made year one, but you're bringing home a lot less than that.
Yeah.
What gave you hope? What gave you hope when you're, because that's pretty close to the bottom of like, back's against the wall, I've got nothing else, nobody's on my team, God is on my side. What is it that stirred? You said I had hope. Where did that come from? How did you get that?
And so, you know, back to my story, I had a lot of success as a young, as a young hockey player. So I knew I could do it, right? I knew I had something in me that says I can have success at something. Why not this? That's the only thing I look at. And I go back and I'm so thankful of some mentors in my life early on at 15, yeah, 18 that good. Like I came out of the gates with a lot, with just being successful. I mean, I was, I was captain of my hockey team and, I was in the newspapers and that kind of thing. And I still have stats that still stand today and, in high school hockey, one stat. But like, so I had something to fall back on, right? That was my only hope.
Yeah.
And then I look back on that and I think, well, I had that, but I also had the Bible. I had scripture.
Yeah.
I had Jesus with me for sure.
Both of those, it's similar to what David talked about last episode. You had mentors at some point in your life, and God is, yeah, included in that.
Yeah.
Speaking into you saying, whether it's from an actual physical mentor saying, you can do this.
Yeah.
Get up. Or God saying, my son, get up. You can do this. This is not the end for you. And you were believing that. I think that's huge.
Yeah.
So one of the things I think that can kind of hinder entrepreneurs at times is this idea of, I'm pursuing this, but then I really need to be doing something else, and they're splitting their focus. Did you have any sort of a backup plan, or you said, hey, if this doesn't work after 5 years, I'm going to punt?
There was no backup plan.
Yeah, you had no backup parachute. That was it. And if it didn't open, you're just going to go splat.
Yeah, and I just had faith and belief that it was going to work. Now, to continue the story, remember we talk about peaks and valleys.
Yep.
Year two was 200,000, year four was 200,000, year five was 600,000, right? And then year six was 700,000, year eight was 1,000,000. So, I went up, and now it's now been 17 years of Emma's Good Christian Ad Agency, and it's, it's somewhere around 800 to 1,000,000, in gross revenue. Some years 700, 800, that kind of thing, but it hasn't really, it's been flourishing, it's been growing. And so now I could look back and I go, except for the grace of God, there go I.
Hmm.
So what does this do for you? Because I know we got to start to land the plane a little bit, but what does this do for you? Because again, life is still peaks and valleys, man. It's not like all of a sudden you have no more valleys. As you start to kind of go back down into a valley, what does then your prior experience, how valuable is that to you to manage your emotions, to identify what's going on inside of you, mm-hmm, and to be able to lead at the level you need to lead at?
Yeah, so this is where, through the years I've went back and I've educated myself on the peaks and the valleys, and understanding that you're going to have them all the time. You are. The revenue is, my identity is not in my revenue. My identity now is in Christ and, mm-hmm, what I am doing with as a child of Christ and how we're leading people and growing each other. That's my identity now.
That's awesome.
It's not in the performance side. Although the performance side matters. You got to pay bills,
come
right?
Come on, man.
So it's not your identity. It's not who you are 100%, right?
Yeah.
It's you're not neglecting that side.
Yeah. Hey, as John gets ready to wrap us up, I guess I have one more question. Could you, if you imagine on the other side of that camera is an entrepreneur that has been working their butt off, but they're still not seeing the results that they need and they're getting ready to pack it in, man. What kind of encouragement can you give them?
Well, I would say that it's going to be tough, right? Starting a business, starting an organization is hard. You've got to know or be aware that there are peaks and valleys, and some valleys are deeper and longer than others. But the encouragement here is that when you're in a valley, you're going to have a peak. I call it my MEPS. Mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Peak high, peak high velocity is when your MEPs are on the peak, right? Which is really hard to do. Your mental, emotional, physical, spiritual capacity are going to have peaks and valleys at different times in your life. And that is perfectly normal.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a great word in terms of if you're in the valley, the peak is coming. Don't abandon hope in that place.
Yes.
And I think we've seen in the stories that we've looked at of surrounding yourself with others, God, prayer, time to see, I am more than where I'm at. Where I'm at does not define me.
That's it.
And if identity rises above the valley, then we can power through whether we're in a valley or a peak. Even the peak, it doesn't define us. Then throughout life, success and vision is reached because we're not being driven by the circumstances. We're choosing, no, this is who I am. This is my identity.
That's it.
It's a powerful story of that. Thank you for sharing with us.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And letting us in.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We will tune in with you guys in the next episode. In the meantime, check out show notes. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. Thanks.